All right. Take your copy of the Word of God and go with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, we are finishing up a series called Evangelism 101 this morning. Throughout the entire month of October, we've been focused on sharing the gospel. We've been focused on sharing it here, focused on sharing it around the world. Today, we're going to be focused on sharing it personally. And we talked about all the way back in the beginning of October, we talked about how we were going to give us a tool to help us to walk through that in a personal conversation. So we're going to look at that. It's called Three Circles. But Colossians chapter 4, we're going to look at just a couple of verses. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning? Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Father, now as we look into your Word, I pray that you would speak truth to our hearts. Help us to learn and grow for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning, what we're going to do is we are going to talk about how to turn everyday conversations into gospel conversations. How to take an everyday conversation and make it into a gospel conversation. Now, we need to understand something. We're not talking about Jesus juking. Anybody know what Jesus juking is? Jesus juking is when you make a really weird turn away from where the conversation was going. So we have a couple of pictures here we want to show you. The first one here is a Facebook post. It's coming up right there. And it says this: I know it's just flag football, but I hate it when I don't play well. Unfortunately, I have to wait 2 weeks to get redemption. The other person says, fortunately, Jesus redeemed you on the cross. You have an even better redemption to look forward to. Now, is that absolutely true? Yes. But the person writing about flag football, are they sitting there and saying, what? Yes, absolutely. That is a Jesus juke right there. So we don't want to do that. How about this one? The post just says, open your Bible as much as you open your mouth. Now listen, for some of us, I'm all in on this right here, okay? I'm just going to be honest, all right? That's important, all right? But that's not the type of thing that we need to necessarily put somewhere. Or how about this one? Church signs. Anyone like crazy church signs? All right, I'm going to step on some toes here real quick. I hate them. I think that sums it up pretty well, okay? Here's one right there. You have a new friend request from Jesus. Confirm or ignore. Now, here's my problem with church signs like this. There's not anybody driving down the road that sees a church sign that says, CH, blank, blank, CH, what's missing? You are. That they're like, I need Jesus in my life. No, they ride down the road and they're like, that's dumb. You know how I know that? Because I think that as well. And I love Jesus, okay? So this one right here, I understand what they're getting at. Not really good. How about this one? How to talk to short people. Any short people in the house? How to talk to short people. All right, on the left here, no, that's not how you do it. On the right hand, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. Again, not the post that you want to put out there trying to tell people about Jesus. And then lastly, I'm just going to put it up there. That's bad. That's really bad. So when we're talking about taking everyday conversations and turning them into gospel conversations, we're not talking about any of those things right there. All right, we're not saying, oh man, I'm playing flag football, hopefully I'll get redemption. No, only Jesus redeems. Yes, Jesus is the only one that redeems, not the context. All right, hang on. I'm going to go off on a little soapbox here real quick. Okay, this is over here. This is not even in my notes, and I wasn't going to do it. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it. Social media is not the place to have those kind of discussions because nobody wins. Nobody changed their mind. They just yell louder like I am right now because I'm very passionate about this. All right, so recently there was a controversy. I'm not even getting into that. And there was a friend that Sean and I have that began posting about it, and she was showing me some of those things. And if I had social media, even then, I still wouldn't have responded to it because it's not the place for it. That's not what social media says. Take pictures of your kids and your puppies and your food. I'm all in. All right, off that soapbox. All right, so here's what we want to do. We want to get from an everyday conversation to a gospel conversation without being stupid. Jesus tells us that we need to be wise, right? This is what he was looking at saying. Stop being dumb. You know, it's like the old, anyone like fail videos on YouTube? Love them. I can't get enough of them. I'm going to be honest. All the time. And here's how it usually starts. Hey, you know what would be a really great idea if I dot, dot, dot. And usually they end up busting their face into something. All right. And Jesus would look at them and say, stop being stupid. That's what he says to us sometimes. Don't be stupid in presenting the gospel. So here's how we need to walk through in taking these conversations into gospel conversations. Number one, from the text here, we need to pray. Now, we're in church this morning. This should be a given, but it's not. I believe firmly that for most of us, the weakest area of our spiritual disciplines is prayer. And I think it's because we don't really trust God. We think, I've got to handle this situation. I've got to handle my health. I've got to handle my job. I've got to handle my kids. I've got to handle my marriage. I've got to handle fill in the blank. And the truth of the matter is, none of us can handle it. We're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. We're not God. And so with everything, we need to pray. Look at what Paul says there in starting verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. If you look at some of the prayers of Paul in the New Testament, you see what he does time and time again is he is saying, I'm continually in prayer for you. I'm devoted to praying. He says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us, for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. So when we talk about prayer, the first thing that we need to understand is that prayer is our method of communication with God. The Bible is God's method of communication with us, and prayer is our method of communication with God. If you have any kind of relationship, whether it's a friendship, a marriage, whatever, the only way for it to survive is with communication. It's no different in our relationship with the Lord. That we have to spend serious time, not just going down a checklist, but being in on prayer and spending time devoted to it. We need to be praying about the small things as well as the big things. And what Paul's doing here is he's commanding prayer as a regular spiritual discipline. So prayer is our method of communication with God. Number two, prayer is our method of giving thanks to God. He says, stay alert with thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for what God has given us. Even if we think what we have isn't much, he's still given to us. The poorest among us is still far more wealthy than the majority of the world today. I've been to some of those places where they live on 25 cents a day, or been to one village where they were about 75 cents a week is what they lived on. We can't even buy a cup of coffee for that. We need to be thankful for what God has given to us, and we need to even be thankful for the trials. Notice he says there that he is in chains for the gospel. Paul was grateful for that. Now, he didn't like being beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and bitten by snakes and thrown into prison and all those sorts. He didn't really, it wasn't like he was, got beat up again. That was awesome. But he was grateful for the opportunity to serve the Lord in that manner. But then he also says there, stay alert in prayer with thanksgiving. See, prayer is not just a wish list to a genie in a lamp. That's how we treat prayer a lot of times, isn't it? It's our list to Santa. No, we have conversation with the one who spoke everything into existence. We have conversation with him because he desires to have conversation and relationship with us. That's the crazy thing. The God who said, "Let there be light," and light was there. The God who reached down and formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He wants to have relationship and conversation with us. And we treat him like grandpa who we go over to his house and he gives us Werther's candies all the time. And we just go there for the candy. Number three, prayer is our method of preparing the path so that we can serve God. Preparing the path so that we can serve God. Look at verse 3, the very beginning of it. He says, "Pray for us that God may open a door for us." What is he saying? We know that we have a responsibility to share the gospel, but God is the one who's going to do the work, who has to lay the groundwork, because I can't do that. And so praying that the path would be prepared for us to go in. Paul knows the importance of allowing God to prepare people and to prepare hearts to be open to the message of the gospel. The Bible tells us that on our own, we don't ever seek after God. No one does. There has to be a work of God in our hearts and lives to prepare the path so when we hear the gospel, we can respond. But here's what you need to understand. This phrase is not advocating for the professional Christians, quote unquote, to do the work. He was just saying, as we're going out, you need to be praying for us. Paul had already said that he was praying for them. So we need to be praying, not just so that Pastor Josh or our deacons, our connect group leaders, or myself, but for all of us, that as we're going out, that God would prepare us and prepare the hearts of those we're going to come in contact with. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians twice. He says, imitate me. He says in chapter 4 and in chapter 11, he says, imitate me. And so as he was going out, he was setting the pattern. This is how I want you to be. Ask for others to pray. Go out and do the work. Number four, prayer is our method of preparing our hearts to obey God. I don't know about you, my heart's wicked. I try to run from God every chance I get, and so do you. And so we have to prepare our hearts to be obedient. Look what he says there in verse 4. He says, so that I may make it known as I should. You know, he's praying for obedience. In Romans 7, Paul had written it to the Roman believers there, and he said, listen, the good things that I want to do, I don't do them, and the things that I don't want to do that are evil and wicked, that's what I end up doing. He goes back and forth on that all the time. So he's saying, this is what I need. I need to be praying to prepare me to be obedient. The truth of the matter is, none of us are going to trip and fall into sharing the gospel with anybody. It's never going to happen by accident. I was challenged a couple of years ago to pray a Monday morning prayer, and I'm going to challenge you in the same way. Every Monday, as I'm spending time with the Lord, this is one of my prayers. Lord, open a door, open their heart, open my mouth. Now listen, there's nothing special or mystical about that. It's just simply saying to God, here's what I'm asking for you to go before me, prepare them, but also prepare me. Allow me to be obedient. So number one, what we need to do in taking these conversations that are everyday conversations into gospel conversations as we need to pray. Number two, we need to intentionally engage unbelievers. Intentionally engage unbelievers. Look what he says there in verse 5. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Now listen, for many, many, many good reasons, we do not live in a commune on top of the mountain. That would be weird if we did. We are to be here, to be in the world, but not of the world. To be salt and to be light. To be those who bring flavor and vision to those who don't know Jesus. That's what we're here to do. And so in order to do that, we have to intentionally engage unbelievers. Here's what we need to understand about this, is that sharing the gospel is wise. Sharing the gospel is wise. If you look in Romans 10, Paul writes and says, "How then can they call on him they have not believed in? How can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes with the message about Christ." First of all, sharing the gospel is wise because it's God's command. It's God's command. So anytime there's a command given to us, it is really smart for us to be obedient. It's really dumb for us to be disobedient. Number two, sharing the gospel is wise because it leads others to salvation and eternal life. Paul clearly says there, how can they hear without a preacher? Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word about Christ. Number three, sharing the gospel is wise because God treasures the one who shares it. Look what he says there. He quotes from Isaiah, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. God treasures those who tell others about him. Sharing the gospel is also making wise use of time. Look back there in verse 5 of Colossians 4, he says, making the most of the time. It's wise because we make good use of time. If we look in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes and says, pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What's the Lord's will? The Lord's will is that all should come to repentance, that not a single one should perish. The Lord's will is that we would be the feet and the hands and the mouth of Jesus to the unsaved world around us. The Lord's will is that we would be obedient to all of the commands of God. And so to be wise, by the way, I think God's really interested in wisdom. He gave us an entire book that we call Proverbs. It's all about wisdom. By the way, you know where wisdom starts? In the fear of the Lord. How do we fear the Lord? We're not afraid of him. We respect him. When we respect him, we obey him. Number three, as we are taking these everyday conversations and making them gospel conversations, we need to speak with grace. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so you may know how you should answer each person. This is a bad example of how to share the gospel with someone. You ready? Turn or burn, sucker. Not gracious. The dictionary defines graciousness, gracious speech, as kind, compassionate, polite, courteous, charming. Paul's commanding that, but he's actually commanding even more than that. He's saying that our words must be overflowing with the grace of God. That yes, as we speak to them, we're kind and we're loving and we're compassionate. But we can be kind and loving and compassionate and not tell them about Jesus and his sacrifice and about mercy and about grace and about love and forgiveness. Our words must be overflowing with the grace of God. It was said about Jesus in Luke 4. They were all speaking well of him and were amazed by the gracious words that came from his mouth. They're not just saying that Jesus was polite. They were saying that he was speaking of the grace of God. If you notice all throughout the Gospels, when Jesus opened up scriptures and explained it to them, they were always dumbfounded because he preached with authority, but he also preached about the grace of God. When we're engaging outsiders after we've prayed, we are bringing them to the point of understanding who Jesus is, what his grace has provided for us, and we're pointing people to Jesus with our words. Our words must be full of the flavor of Jesus Christ. It says that speak with grace, our words would be gracious and seasoned with salt. I've already stepped on a bunch of people's toes, so I'm going to keep on going this morning. I'm on a roll. I wasn't here last week, so I got a lot pent up inside, you know. I don't like tofu. You know what? Did I get a couple amens on that? Thank you. You know what I really like? I like a really good, thick, meaty steak, full of flavor. It's just sizzling off the grill. You know what I'm talking about? Seasoned well, that when you cut into that and you put that bite in your mouth, I'm starting to get hungry now. It just kind of melts in your mouth. You know what I'm talking about? Tofu? Nope. What we need to be is we need to be steak, not tofu. By the way, tofu actually takes on the flavor of things around it. If we're tofu in the world, guess what? We end up looking like the world. When we're salt in the world, we add the flavor. We add the flavor of Jesus. And so as we're pointing people to Jesus, we are showing that we can actually say to them, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you've ever had that really good meal, what do you like to do? The first thing, obviously, is you Instagram it, because you didn't eat it if it's not on Instagram, right? Secondly, you tell someone about it. You tell them how good it was and where you got it or who made it or all those different things, and you're just raving about it. It should be no different when telling people about Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But then thirdly, our words must be prepared for the individual. Our words must be prepared for the individual. Look what he says in verse 6. So you may know how you should answer each person. You know what I know about every single person in this room this morning? We're all different. Every single one of us. We have different likes, different dislikes. Some of you like tofu for some reason. I don't know why, but you do. I only judge you a little bit, but that's moving on. We're all different. We all have different likes and dislikes and wants and needs and desires and friendships and all of those different things. We're all different. And so when we're speaking to people about Jesus, we don't change the message of the gospel. We change how we interact with that person. This is very important. Now, there is a difference between standing on a stage like this and preaching the gospel to a group and sitting down one-on-one and having a conversation with someone. Those are two vastly different things. When I'm standing up here, when Josh is standing up here, when Brent's standing up here, or whoever is standing up here and preaching the gospel, we sit down, we prepare, we have our notes, and we kind of go right on that because we just have to put it out there for the masses. But when you're sitting down having a conversation, when you're taking someone from an everyday conversation to a gospel conversation, we have to know how to interact with that person. We need to be able to share the gospel conversationally. So this morning, we're gonna look at a tool to help us. Actually, it's not really a tool. It's more of an illustration. Because what we don't want is we don't want us to memorize something that if we just memorize all of these words and kind of shoot them out of our mouths at someone, they can hear the gospel and get saved. We want to have real conversation with them. So we're just going to talk about an illustration. So now I want you to grab that 3x5 card that's right there. All right, you're going to get to see some of my amazing artwork this morning. Thankfully, it's simple. So if you have your 3x5 card there, there's two sides to it, right? Go to the side without the lines. It'll be a lot easier for you. You can use the side with lines if you want, tofu lovers, but I would go with the other one. That might be my new insult for people. I'm just thinking. I don't know. Apparently, it's not. Oh, my wife loves tofu. Well, I'm in trouble. Let's pray. I'm just kidding. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk through how to move from an everyday conversation to a gospel conversation. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm sure if you really sat down and thought about it, you would realize it too. People will talk to you about things that are in their life that are hard or that are problems, that are difficult, right? We have that all the time. I have an illness. I lost my job. My marriage is in trouble. I don't communicate well with my kids. Fill in the blank, right? We all have things that are there. And so what we're going to do is pretend that this is your 3x5 card here, okay? Do you all see the resemblance now? It's white and no lines. All right, so on this side here, you're going to draw a circle. Now, again, this was called what? Three circles. Good job. And so we're going to end up drawing three circles. That might be a little bit big, but we're going to go with it. Here's the first thing. Someone sits down and says, hey, you know what? Man, I've really been struggling. My marriage, I just don't communicate well with my wife. And it's been hard. We've been yelling at each other a lot. I've been sleeping on the couch. Man, I'm struggling. This is an incredible opportunity that God has given you, that if you've been praying the Monday morning prayer, Lord, open a door, open their hearts, open my mouth. We're now at the part, open my mouth. They're sitting there saying, I'm struggling. You say this, and you can grab anything around that you can write on. So can I just illustrate for you something here? What you're talking about is you're talking about brokenness. So you can write the word brokenness right in here. In our world, man, we're broken all the time. I can tell right now, because of your struggles with your marriage, you're broken, aren't you? Yeah, I'm broken this morning. I'm struggling because of this situation in my life. You say, when we're broken, you know what we tend to do? We tend to kind of lash out a little bit, right? And it ends up coming out as yelling at our wives, or it comes out as drugs or alcohol or sex addiction, or we don't get along well with our boss or whatever. And we have all these things that we're trying to go out and we kind of vent a little bit, and so it comes out in all these ways, and it's broken. And I get that. I hear you this morning, because we all struggle with brokenness, don't we? By the way, do you know there are two things that are universal that everyone understands in the entire world? Laughter and pain. Laughter and pain. And so when someone's walking through pain, guess what? Every single one of us can identify. We might not be able to identify in that specific thing, but we've all walked through brokenness, haven't we? Every single one of us. And so we can say, hey, you know what? I understand what it's like to be broken. Can I tell you about something else? That's not how God designed this life and this world. God designed us to walk and to fit in harmony and in unity, in relationship with Him, in relationship with others. And because of brokenness, we're outside of God's design. In fact, there's this big gap right here between where we are and where God wants us to be. Do you know how we got from where God wants us to be to here? This is where it's conversational, right? You allow them to answer, and they might come up with an off-the-wall answer. Here's the answer. You ready? You say, you know how we got from here to here? God calls it sin. God calls it sin. You know what sin is? Sin is anything that doesn't look like God. It's anything that misses the mark of His perfection. And so when God says that He is love and we hate someone, that's sin. If God says He is truth and we lie, that's sin. We could go right on through that. And so we've gotten to this point where we're supposed to be here in God's perfect design and unity and harmony, relationship with Him and relationship with others. But because of our sin, we're broken. And the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible also tells us that the wages or the penalty, the payment of sin is death. And that brings us over here to brokenness. And I don't know about you, but because I think about this brokenness and I think about where we're sitting right now and the conversation we're having about your marriage, I could use some good news. Could you use some good news? Yeah, we could all use some good news, couldn't we? Here's the third circle. You ready? I'm going to write a word here that the word is gospel. You may have heard it before, but you know what that word means? It means good news. And here's the good news that we need to know about our brokenness and about God's design. There is a way for us to move from our brokenness back into unity and harmony with the Lord. And it's simply this: Jesus is God in the flesh, and He died on the cross. He became our sin. He took our penalty. He took the wrath of God so that we could be forgiven. And then He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And if we would simply repent and believe, then we could have a relationship with God. That's the good news.
The good news about repenting and believe is that God has offered this free gift of forgiveness to everyone. He's offered it to you and to me so that we can move from our brokenness, from our pain, from all of the things that we struggle with back to where God wants us to be in unity and harmony. And guess what? As we find that, you know what we find is that we recover and pursue the Lord. Here's the great thing, is that even any point in our life when we start to walk back in brokenness again, that same relationship with Jesus allows us to recover and pursue and come back into fellowship with the Lord. Now here's the question is, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? And we could share something personal. Say, let me tell you about a time that I was broken. There was a time in my life when I was scared and I was lonely. But then I had an incredible encounter with God, with Jesus Christ. And now, because of that, I'm no longer scared. I'm no longer lonely. I know that God is always with me because I'm back in His design. But the question is, what are you going to do with this information? Now, here's the important thing, friends. It is not our job to make anyone believe. It is our job to share the gospel with them. So this is an illustration. It's not something you memorize. In fact, probably every time you share it will be different because it needs to be conversational with the person, right? There may be some people who are more listening, some people who are more engaged in talking, and all of that's okay. But the important thing is this is a way that we can use to walk through and sharing the gospel with other people. Simply called three circles. In fact, if you go with us to London, this is the primary thing that we'll be using to share the gospel with the people there in London. By the way, if you can share the gospel in London, which they speak English, you can do it here as well. One step further. Like I said, this is just an illustration, not something to memorize. So you have to be well-grounded in what is the gospel. But here's what we want to do. We want to celebrate gospel conversations. We want to celebrate gospel conversations. We're not looking to put, you know, notches on our belt of people that we got or anything like that. Simply every time that we have a conversation about the gospel with someone, we want to celebrate it. And so we have a stack of these gospel celebration cards right out here on the other side of this wall. There's a little table there. There's a bunch of these. There's some markers. There's some sticky tack. And every time that you have a gospel conversation with someone, when you show up back here, we just want you to write their first name. You don't need to put your name on there. You don't need to put the whole information. You don't need to put their social security number on there or address or anything like that. Just their first name. Take some sticky tack and put it on the wall. And every time we do that, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate every opportunity that we get to share the gospel. Here's the thing. I know there are some of us in this room that we are regularly sharing the gospel with others. That's awesome. Keep going. There are others of us, we've never in our lives opened up our mouth about what Jesus has done for us. We need to change that because God has commanded us to share the gospel. And so here's what we're going to do. As we start seeing these showing up on the wall right out here, it's going to encourage each of us to do it more because we can see, hey, listen, we're all doing this together, right? We're all involved in this ministry of reconciliation together. Brent preached last week about having the courage to share the gospel. This is where we put feet to that right here. This is one way that we get to use to celebrate to share the gospel that we can end up celebrating together. You might go and people reject you. I have more people reject the gospel than people that accept the gospel. That doesn't make sense to me because I understand the importance of who Jesus is, but there are people who reject the gospel. In the United States, it is about 7.5 times for one person to hear the gospel before they trust Jesus. So you might be number one, or you might be number six. You don't know. It's our job to simply tell them. And so, church, as we walk through this month of evangelism, here's the challenge before us this morning. Start with one. Pastor Josh already talked about it in our prayer time. Who's that one that's on our heart that we know we need to go share the gospel with them because they don't know Jesus. And we need to go and do it. And then after we have that conversation, come on back, write their name on there, stick it up on the wall. And we'll celebrate that together. Now, I told you this the very first week of October, that as we got a tool in our hands, we're now responsible to use it, but I also said because we have access to the Bible, we're responsible for that as well, right? Here's the thing. We don't have an excuse. You with me? We don't have an excuse. If you're sitting here this morning, we do not have an excuse to not be telling other people about Jesus. Actually, I take it back. We do have one excuse. Here's our excuse. We're disobedient. It's not really an excuse. And so we have to say, you know what? I don't care what anyone else is going to do. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to go and take the message of forgiveness and salvation and life to other people. Would you pray with me? God, this morning, we recognize the need for the gospel right here and around the world. We know that the only way to eternal life is through Jesus. We know that you have entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation. We know that you have put it upon us to be obedient, to go and share the gospel with everyone as we are going to make disciples. So Lord, this morning, would you convict us and challenge us to be obedient in this area of our lives? Lord, we believe that you want to do a great big work through us, but we have to be willing to be obedient. And so, Father, may that be true of us collectively. May that be true of us individually. That we would take this challenge, that we would take this tool to go and share the gospel with others. Lord, may we be obedient. But Father, in this room this morning, I know that there are some that don't know you as their personal Savior. There's some that have never put their faith and trust in you. And Jesus, I pray that this morning they would understand that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. Jesus, that you died in our place for our sins. You were buried and rose again so that whoever would believe and call on your name would be saved. So, Father, this morning I pray that you would speak to those who don't know you, that you would draw them to yourself this morning. They would respond in belief. Now, friend, I'm just going to ask in the quietness of this moment, something we don't do a whole lot. I'm the only one looking around right now. But I'm just going to ask you, if earlier when we had our prayer time or if during the message, if God laid someone on your heart that you know doesn't know the Lord, and you are saying, I am willing to go and share the gospel with them, would you just slip up your hand? Listen, don't be ashamed. There's only just us here. Put it up. Morning, if you're in here and you said, I've never before put my faith and trust in Jesus, in just a moment when we stand to sing, Pastor Josh is right down here. I'll be right over here on your left-hand side. Would you just come and say, I need to know Jesus? Don't leave here without knowing him. Father, now you've seen our hands, you've seen our hearts, you know what's going on. I pray that you'd help us to be obedient, that we'd be willing to go walk through the open doors that you present to us and share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. pray this in Jesus' name.